thank you so much, Heather. I'm just going to share for a few minutes now from the Bible, just in thinking about this topic about wider and witness. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for Heather and what she shared with us. Thank you so much for the example that we can take. Thank you for the knowledge we can take about Cambodia. And Lord, I pray that you would leave a little bit of it on our hearts, Lord, that we could take these prayer points away. Because as she said, we can all have a part to play in this, in praying for what's happening in that country and for the people there and for what you're doing there. So Lord, I pray that you would imprint that on our hearts and challenge us to take that away. And Lord, I pray now that you would take your word, Lord, and open it up to us. Have our hearts and minds ready to hear from you, that we would hear what you have to say, and that your words would come into our hearts and make a difference in our lives. Amen. So there's a lot in this passage to consider, but we don't have a lot of time this morning to do that justice. It was really important to make that time to learn more about what Heather's been up to. So in thinking of this idea of reaching wider in witness, I really want to hone in on verse 20 of this passage. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So myself and Suzanne have a favourite TV show called The West Wing. Does anybody know The West Wing? Have we got fans? Yes, I've got a few hands. Okay. So we've watched it 5 or 6 times right through the 7 series. Quite often during the times that our children were really small in those first few weeks, we would sit at night, zoomed out, not able to do anything else, and watching The West Wing. So it's quite special to us, although she still holds some resentment in her heart for when we were watching it when we were dating. And then the dating took a bit of a break, but my watching of West Wing continued. So there's still a little bit of resentment for that. But the show follows the staff of the American president as they work through the political issues of the day. And as I've gotten older, I've become a little bit fascinated by the foreign ambassadors that they communicate with. There are quips about how the ambassadors, you know, they have a bit of an easy life. They spend time partying, getting up to no good, and getting away with parking tickets in particular. But when it comes down to it, they are there to be their country's representative in that nation, to communicate their leader's position, to argue their case. It comes with special privileges, but also huge responsibility. So, what is Christ saying when he calls us Christ's ambassadors? Sorry, what's Paul saying when he calls us Christ's ambassadors? And he clarifies it in that verse, as though God were making his appeal through us. So it's very similar in a way to what's displayed on the TV show. We're there to be a representative of God and to relay his message. But there's a striking difference in the message we bring. You see, foreign ambassadors are appointed by foreign nations to protect their countries and their leaders' interest. That might be political or economic. It can even be in life and death situations. Often they bring bad news, news that the nation doesn't want to hear, and decisions that could lead to fear or destruction. But as Christ's ambassadors, we bring a very different message and represent a very different position. Because the one that we represent took death upon himself so we can bring a message of life. The one we represent took the cost so that we can offer the free gift on his behalf. A worldly ambassador brings a message of, we want to do this, or we want you to do this because it's in their best interest, or at least their leader's best interest. But Christ's ambassadors bring a message of, God has already done this. He's done it for you because it's in your best interest. So our attitude as ambassadors of Christ is with hands open, stretched outward, filled with love and compassion, offering to give and serve, not to take, not to assert power. We're ambassadors of Christ's example, of his attitude, not protectors of an interest. The rest of this passage makes this mission or ministry or message, as it says in the passage, crystal clear. Is anybody else here playing Wordle at the moment? It's kind of a buzz on somebody is. Okay. It's kind of a buzz on Twitter. It's not very exciting. It's a simple daily word game that myself and Suzanne have tried the last few days. I want to try a little bit of a word game this morning with this passage. So I'm going to read it out, and I want you to tell me, you know, have a think about what two phrases or words stick out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All is from God. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, being Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Did I make that a little bit too easy? A little bit too obvious? I don't mean to flaunt my sage-like wisdom at this point, but I've learned that if the Bible says something multiple times over and over in a short passage, it's because we're supposed to take notice of it. According to the dictionary, reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations. So making up with your neighbour when their dog has been pooping in your garden. Definitely not a real-life illustration. Except it's not really that, is it? Are you reconciled if you give up the argument, but you don't forget that you had the disagreement? Are you reconciled if you still harbour some ill will towards them or think a little bit worse of them? Or you still daydream about picking up that poop and dropping it on their doorstep? I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to numbers. Our Matthew, our six-year-old, is just the same. And when I used to manage cafes, I used to quite enjoy the really tedious task of tallying up the numbers at the end of the day and figuring out, why is it 25p under or over? Or why is that? What's the difference? Where can I find the fix? I know it's really, really sad. But in accounting, reconciliation is the process of comparing transactions and activity to supporting documentation. Further, reconciliation involves resolving any discrepancies that have been discovered. Resolving any discrepancies. See, when we are reconciled to Christ, we haven't just made up after a bit of a fallout. We haven't just shook hands and promised to leave it behind and that we'll all try better in the future. Everything needs to be left right. Any discrepancies need to be resolved. But look at the tense in the passage. This is from God, who reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling. He has committed to us the message. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This reconciling, it's been done. It's past tense. The discrepancies have been resolved. The old has gone, the new has come. The only bit in that passage that's in the future is the end of the last verse, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But it hinges on the start of that verse. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's already done. The work is finished, discrepancies resolved, so that those in Christ might be made right with God. The righteousness of God. Not like the righteousness of God, not part of the righteousness, not a bit of it. The righteousness of God. Discrepancies gone, resolved, reconciled completely. Righteous. And who did this work? God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. If we're in Christ, we're made new. We're reconciled, made righteous. We're the beneficiaries of this good news. Good charities will talk a lot about, including voices of those with lived experience in their planning and their communication. Some even call them ambassadors for the work. We are the ones who have the lived experience. We're benefiting from the work that has been done. We are the reconciled and those ideal ambassadors. Just as I finish, there's one final thing we need to remember about being ambassadors. So it would make no sense whatsoever for the British ambassador to the United States to stay in Britain. Joe Biden may as well pick up the phone and have a chat to Boris or whoever's in charge next week. The whole point is that the ambassador has gone to the foreign nation. An effective ambassador is with the people there, is an effective communicator in their culture and context. They understand where the fault lines are, and they understand those they are communicating to. Ambassadors are sent. They return. They communicate with their leaders. They receive instruction from home, but they're sent out again. All the while, committed to their king and his message. God has sent each and every one of us who know him, who are in him, if anyone is in Christ. He sent us into our workplaces, into our community groups, our sports clubs, into our families, and into our friendships. He sends some of us further. He sent Heather to the other side of the world. He took Lindsay and Jukula to Nigeria. She wasn't even in Jukula at that stage. Wesley Bonner and the Blaines have gone to Moldova. Jamie and Lindsay McMillan have been sent to Ballysillan. Simon Fleming to America. Dave Joy and the central team to the centre of Belfast. So, where is he sending you? Moreover, where has he sent you? Where's he already placed you? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to leave you with a big, go figure out what you need to do, and away you go. This isn't a big evil challenge for you today. The point of this passage is that Christ has done something that's worth being sent for. And when he looks at you, when he looks at me, when he looks at those who are in Christ, he sees something, he sees someone worthy of carrying that great message. What an incredible, incredibly good, incredibly gracious God who would see that because of what his son has done and looks upon us as righteous. This is the message I want us to take away from this as we think about reaching wider. Because when we really get that God views us in this way as righteous, we can't help but ask the question of where is our ambassadorship to? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you know every person in this room. You know our hearts, you love us, and you've created us, every hair on our head. And Lord, I thank you that when you've drawn us into you, Lord, as we've become one with you in Christ, as we've accepted what you have done for us in Christ, that we become righteous in your eyes, Lord. Thank you for your grace to send your Son to live the perfect life that we can't, to die the death that we wouldn't, to take our sin on his shoulders, to defeat death, rise again, and now to prepare a place in glory for us. And God, I thank you that we have this opportunity to serve you, and that in our weakness, you have made us strong. You make us righteous. So God, I pray that you touch our hearts. You give us confidence in you, that we would know that why, like Heather said, we might not know what to say to the person in the bus or the friend who doesn't know Christ. But you do, Lord, and you have your ways and your timing. So open our hearts to what you're calling us to, and remind us that you view us as righteous because of the great work that you've already done. We pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.